The church where we had a bulletin. Many of you grew up in the same, maybe in the Catholic church or in the Protestant church. So you had the bulletin and you looked through it, told you when to stand up, and when to sit down, what hymn to read, to sing. And in some cases, I went to a church a while back where everything that was said was in the bulletin. You prayed together. There was a prayer in the bulletin. And I'm not against that necessarily, but what it does is it, I don't believe it leads you by the Spirit. It leads you by what's written. So read what's written, and we'll go through the whole thing, and then we're done. And so I think that's what a lot of us still have, is you have to be told what to do. Now I'm a little biased towards my wife. I mean in a good way. But to me, she's a great musician. And she's spent most of her life, and her parents can attest to this, and I can, playing the piano at least an hour a day all of her life. And so when she plays, I like to listen. It's music therapy for me. And I know we get caught up. I do too. But when she plays, I think we should be listening.
Yes.
And I felt like standing up and saying, will you guys please be quiet so we can listen to this woman? Because she was playing some beautiful music.
Yes.
And some of you were doing that, and I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that if we're not told to be quiet by Reggie or Joker or somebody, we just keep on going. We could go till noontime, like Reggie said. And so I think there's a time when we need to get focused. And the other thing with this thing here, it's like when you walk into the room in the morning, when you walk into the sanctuary, you should, I go to Reggie and say, I want to pray for Malcolm today. He should have a list and have to check them off of people who want to pray for Malcolm. And I don't believe it should be the other elders. That's not their job, that's our job. So I'm just giving you a little lecture here this morning. But they tried that with the piano thing, and some people just got caught up in Vistin, and that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing that I like about this church. But there is a time we have to draw the line and say, okay, now we need to, get quiet and pay attention. I can remember in the Methodist bulletin, they had a thing at the beginning. It said, for the prelude, they had it written down. Yeah. This is the time where you drop the veil between yakking and being quiet. I can't remember how they actually put it, but... So that's that's another thing about the new year. Maybe we need to get refocused and think about why are we here, and what's God's plan for us on Sunday morning. I don't know if that.
I think God is saying that. He's saying that right now. He's saying, if we're going to be serious, let's be serious.
Well, I made a comment.
By the way, you can still have fun.
Oh yeah, sure.
Let's not take things for granted.
Yeah, I made a comment at Malcolm and Kathy's New Year's thing the other night, that 2012 to me was it's all been that way, but 2012 was kind of like a setting the foundation for 2013. And from the world's perspective, it doesn't look real good economically, socially, different things that are going on in our country and the world. But from a Christian point of view, we should be excited.
Yes.
But we also have to start taking a stand. Mm-hmm. And like Reggie said, if the Lord's convicting you about something, you better start following through on it. And I've been going through that in the last few weeks with stuff going on in my life spiritually and personally and all that. And I think we need to start. Let's not just be this friendly little loving church, but let's be a powerful church. And the bulletin doesn't have to say, okay, today, Reggie, it's your turn to pray for Malcolm. We should all be doing it. And I know you've heard me say that before, but let's get off our butts and get moving.
Can I say something?
I'm not in charge. Go ahead.
Okay. I know that song that Melinda played this morning that's been stuck in my head for weeks. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, that would make an awesome prayer for Malcolm at the beginning of service. Mm-hmm. And I said, one of these days I'm going to stand up and sing that chorus to that song. And if you forgive me and my voice, I'm going to try to do that today.
Oh, amen.
Can we join you?
Yes, please. Word of God speak, Won't you pour down like rain, washing our eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know you're in this place. Please let us stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. That's our prayer today, Lord. Speak to us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. We better get her in the worship team.
And Steve, I want to say thank you because we need to hear that type of song. Just like our Father in heaven teaches and instructs us, and sometimes
the Lord has really dug it on me today.
And I think that's wonderful that we can be free to just stand up and share what God's put on our heart, because we all need that.
Yes.
We have plenty of time after church to really to fellowship, and when we come in, we really should be coming in to say, okay, God, what do you have for me today? You know? And I know we all love each other so much, we can't wait to see each other, but we should be even more in love with God.
Yes.
To want to come in
and see
the guest for us.
Thank you, Lord.
This is tough. This whole theme about, you know, doing what God calls you to do. You know, we all are in a place in our life we're formed from our past. And through God, God changes us. And
yeah,
I know there's others here that are like me. I mean, scared to death of being up here. Scared to death of even believing that God will speak to you because of
the past.
The stuff you go through when you're growing up.
Yeah.
And I know he's leaving this on my eyes, but for about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe longer. And it's so hard to say, because through my whole life I had shame. Because as a young boy, I was molested by my uncle and somebody else. And I know this ain't for everybody to get up and do this, but for those of you who are sitting there that have shame and that are afraid to speak out, we got to stop it in the name of Jesus. Because I know it's hindered me from seeing a lot of things. And like I said one other time, I'm not going to allow it anymore through His strength. And like that song says, Lord is our strength.
Yeah.
Trust me, there's no way in this God's green earth I did this on my own. Because there's only 3 people in my life that's ever known this. And only 2 of them were in the last year. So, I just plead for all of you to, whatever hinders you, don't let it anymore. Let the Lord flow through you like He wants to. Because there's somebody here, and if it's only one person that gets out of my pain that I had to go through, one person gets something out of it. Praise the Lord, it's well worth it. Because when the Lord leaves that on your heart, there is somebody that needs to hear it. They really do. I know, I've been there. There's a lot of things I've needed to hear, and I thank God for the people who do.
Thanks, Dan. That's just that. People hear that for sure. There's a song that Pastor Brown sings, and I can't remember it. It's an older song, is it? Stained Glass, or something like that, where basically everybody walks into church and everybody's like perfect. You know, and we're not. We all have stains all over us.
Yeah.
And feel comfortable and trusting enough to the church to admit those stains tough to do for anybody, but especially in those circumstances. And so my heart goes out to the end. And to trust God enough to stand up there and say that, that's
yeah.
Crazy to me. But it's awesome.
Wow. You know, last Sunday was the sort of New Year's thing. It was kind of like going back over to 2012 and really to look forward. And what Steve said this morning is really true. The new year doesn't have to be when the world says the new year is. We should always be people that at any time, at all times, be tender enough to have the Lord move on us and change us. And last week's message was to expand the place of your tent, to enlarge the curtains of your dwellings. And I mean, wow. This has been going on with Dan for a while. I mean, I've seen him in the whole process of that. And for Elaine to get up, and how many of you would really do that? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't get up and sing in front of people. You know? And Elaine, I mean, to me, I was so touched because. You expanded the tent of your dwelling. You enlarged the curtains of your dwelling in terms of us, in terms of the Lord. That's what you were really doing. I mean, you were moving in last week's word in that respect. You know, I mean, it was beautiful. I was during the worship time. Before we were singing some words, I don't know who it was, but because I had my eyes closed, but there was just, I mean, there's only two people that play the guitar anyway, right? So it was Janice or Crystal, I guess. There was a stroke of the guitar. I mean, there was no words. It was just you just hit a string on the guitar, and I felt the presence of God through the faithful strumming of a guitar. You know, that blew me away over there. I mean, it wasn't like there was now some religious concept that was being said and I'm accepting. No, it was just a pure spirit. It was coming from someone who was playing in faithfulness to God in order to lift up His name. And what was there came across to me anyway, you know, and it touched my being because it was Christ, you know. Now I want to say, you know, that I can't even talk about what just happened. It was fantastic to me. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians. What? I'm on.
You don't have your microphone.
Hello?
Yeah. You can feel the shackles being broken, can't you?
Yes.
Dan is going to be freed up because of my hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only is it going to bless somebody in here who needed to hear that, it definitely blessed me. But everything that was said today so far, I mean, you just feel like that bondage is being broken.
Yes. And really, when you think about it,
what you just said, Reggie. We don't really expand the tent of our dwelling very easily if we're shackled. And those shackles have to come down, and that's part of the thing of breaking through those bondages, breaking past those concepts, breaking out of that fear and the propriety. You know, I was really glad that we're going in the direction we're going. More people saying things, people getting up and praying, not looking for. There is order. There is order in Christ, but it isn't the way man would think things would be ordered. And we're always looking for someone to give us direction. And yet, shouldn't we all really be so prayed up that when we come here on Sunday, we're ready to step out there if God tells us to, or to sit there if God wants somebody else to? You know, we shouldn't. I felt what Steve said was really true. Melinda's playing, and that should be something that when music begins to play, that we automatically—that's a sign for us. Okay, it's probably after 9:30, which it was, and let's focus in, and let's focus in on the Lord and get our spirits so that we can just move into a good worship and fellowship together. We shouldn't have to have somebody directing us. The Holy Spirit should be. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that there's someone who's going to lead the service, and that they have a general anointing and leading to go ahead and do some of that. But that doesn't mean that should constrict the body when you feel something on you to say. You know how much we've grown in the last year?
Yes.
Just in the last year, there's been some deep, deep good things that are going on in the body of Christ here. And I
really pray and know that this is going to continue. All right, listen to the scripture. And then I was hoping to have a song, because the music with the words to the song are just really beautiful. But I'm just going to, we couldn't get the song today to hear. So you're going to hear the words to it. I'm just going to read the words to it. But I don't remember the tune. I'm not as far along as Elaine or...
It's true, it's a new song. You haven't?
Yes, I just heard it for the first time, actually, a few days ago. I didn't say that?
No.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, listen to this and remember, hopefully, what was said previously. Verse 17. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. Look at that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God for that.
Praise God.
You know, We are new creatures in Christ. We have already been remade. This whole concept, Paul says, was a mystery that was hid for the ages until it was revealed unto him to preach. And that was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want to read you the words to this song. It's called You Are More. You Are More. M-O-R-E. And it's by 10th Avenue North. Anybody ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the more,
All right, here's what it says. There's a girl in the corner with tear stains on her eyes from the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide. She says, how did I get here? I'm not who I once was. I am crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are? What's been done for you? Yeah, don't you know who you are? I stress a lot, because it's true, that the choices we make determine outcomes in our life. And there's a true, very strong truth to that. And I also want to point out that what I'm going to read here is also true, because that isn't the choices that we've made, the things that has happened to us, isn't the sum total of who we are now, because we are new creatures. All right, now listen to what it says here. This is the chorus. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. How about that? Yeah, we have done all these things, and things have happened to us, and those things, because Christ has now touched our lives and are inside of us, have made us a different person. We're more than the choices. We're more than that because we have Christ. We have Christ in us. And it says, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life, but she can't shake the feeling that it's not true tonight. You're in the same position I'm in, right? Don't these words kind of echo to you? You know that this is, that you feel these things, you think these things from time to time? Yes? She knows all the answers, and she's rehearsed all the lines. And so she'll try to do better, but then she's too weak to try. Isn't this amazing? But don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices you've made. You're more than the sum of your past mistakes. You're more than the problems you create. You've been remade. I'm not going to go through every single one of these. Because it's not about what you've done, but what's been done for you. This is not about where you've been, but where your brokenness brings you to.
Yes. That's
right. This is not about what you feel, but what He felt to forgive you, and what He felt to make you loved. And then it goes back into the chorus again. See, we have already been remade. We are already a new creature in Christ. What does, you know, think about this. It's so easy to just kind of, that's right, we're just all... Can we just look around at each other and just know that Christ is inside? The Spirit of Christ resides in each one of us here? What kind of respect would that engender for the way we treat one another? Wait a minute, Jesus is inside that person. The Spirit of Christ is there. And knowing that about yourself should allow us to step out like Elaine did today. Right?
Amen.
Not in the same way necessarily, but to step out beyond yourself so that when God is nudging you to step out and get beyond what you've done before and you're going to do this act of kindness to people that you don't really know, but you're going to do this thing and you actually go out and do it. You know, Reggie was saying earlier how the church has fallen short in lots of places. And we need to be people that are a church that's on fire because we recognize, first of all, that Christ is in each and every person here in the church. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're treating one another the right way. And that we're not afraid of one another. And that we're not comparing ourselves to one another.
Right.
That we don't have to be shackled up with fear with one another. How are we going to do that if we're afraid of one another? How do we get out and do that to the world? Who's much more hostile? Right? I really believe, like what Steve said, you know, this things are going to get worse and worse. It's going to get darker and darker. But for those in the church, the day is going to grow brighter and brighter.
Amen.
And we'll shine brighter and brighter.
We will shine brighter and brighter.
Thank you.
The more that we step into the place that God has for us, and we walk in the light, that light will dispel the darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's just going to come to the light. There are going to be people that are going to choose the darkness. They'd rather have the darkness than the light. But there will be a definitive line between what is right and what is wrong, what is light and what is darkness. If people don't see a definitive difference, they're confused.
Yeah.
They don't see any difference with the church than they do most anybody else. I think that isn't the divorce rates about the same in the Christian church as it is in the regular world? It's almost the same these days. If not the same, it's crazy. There should be something different about the way we live, the choices that we make. You know? Amen? Yes. This really hit me this week, that we are more than the choices that we've made, and we're more than our past mistakes, and we're more than the problems that we've created for ourselves or for other people. We're more than that. Thank God we are. Thank God we're not just limited to the fleshy creature that we are. But that we have a promise. We have light. We have truth. We have the Spirit of the living God that rests inside of us that we can make a quick and deep connection to the God of heaven. Just like that. Like that. As we choose it. You know, I wonder, why do I... How do I get away from this kind of thinking and this kind of feeling? You know? When you're in the Spirit, what a wonderful thing that is. Right?
Right.
Well, you know, you're in the Spirit of God, and you're thinking on Him, and you're allowing yourself to be led moment by moment in the things that you say and the things that you do. And then I find myself in a different place.
That's right.
Yeah. And why? What happened? You know, and to become more cognizant of that. Look, We're new creatures in Christ. We've been called to something different. Listen to what it says here, that Peter says about us. 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a it's verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. If you really thought of yourself, now really, if you thought of yourself, if I thought of myself as a priest to God, I think you wouldn't act the way you normally act. Do you? Because we tend to come up to the standard that somebody else has for us, our parents especially. Did you? I don't know what your upbringing was like, but my parents had really thought very highly of me. I did not ever want to disappoint them, because they had this high level of expectation. And so I wasn't gonna disappoint them for that. And there were things I wanted to do and experiment with and do all kinds of different things. And sometimes it was just knowing what that would do to my parents that I said, no way, I am not going to do that. I am not going to disappoint them. And if I can feel that way about my earthly parents, how about my Heavenly Father? Yeah?
Yes.
We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. A special people. And that word, peculiar, it says in mine, but it means special, belonging to Him, and it's belonging, there's an exclusivity about it. Belonging exclusively to the Lord.
Yes.
Wow. That you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Hallelujah! Isn't that fantastic? Which in times past, we weren't a people. But now, we are the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the living God. See, this is ours. And there's the enemy, our own minds, could come and try to stop up the ears of your heart to hear that. We are people that didn't have the mercy of God resting on us, and now we do.
Amen.
How many of you would want mercy when a king was going to pronounce a judgment on you for what you've done, and you're saying, oh, please, mercy, mercy, king, mercy, Lord, forgive me, don't let this happen to me, please show your mercy. And the scripture says for us, this special people of God, that we who had no mercy whatsoever being bestowed on us now have obtained mercy. This is who we are. And this should be something that is transformative, because we already have the Spirit of God in us to give us the wisdom, give us the strength, give us the truth, give us the tenderness, the compassion, the acts of kindness, give us the direction that we need, and we have that Spirit already within us. So we can move, if we step out in Christ for anything, whether it's to help people out or to step up and be one of the members of the body that are going to contribute in the to the body through word, song, whatever, you just do it. I just do it. You know?
Yeah.
It isn't a one-man show. It isn't that the elders have to do everything, and the person that the preacher is the only one that's talking. I love that about this church. And we've engendered this, that you have something in your heart that when you feel touched by God, you speak. You have that freedom. There's nobody holding you back from moving out in Christ, because Christ is in you.
Amen.
You are not your own anymore. How about putting some feet on that? We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, haven't we? You want to say something about that?
Yes, please. There's been so many times that I've felt that the Lord wants me to do something for people, and I really am a very bashful person, and to get up here and say anything at all is the Lord working in me, because I wouldn't be able to do it otherwise. I have, been helping and following the Lord's has told me, you must help people and do all you can for them, because, they've helped you and it's your job. And sometimes I just don't want to do it. But you know what? I always end up doing it anyway, because the Lord tells me that I must do this, that it's my duty to serve the Lord, and so I do it. And there are a lot of people that don't, approve of what I do to help people, but the Lord tells me to do something, I have to do it, and that's all there is to it. So I understand what Malcolm's saying, that it's been on my heart for a long time to, help certain people, and the Lord just pushed me to do it, and that's what we have to do. So if the Lord says do it, you must do it, and that's all there is.
Amen.
Amen.
I want us to be very clear that if someone is moved by God to do a particular thing, that doesn't mean that everybody else is moved to do that particular thing. You have to have the hearing ear of the Lord yourself. What might be right for one person might not be what you're supposed to do. There's all different kinds of ministry. There's confirmations about things. As we open up things for you to express what the Lord's been doing in your life, or what you feel is something that you want to share with the rest of the body of Christ, there could be times where other people in the body don't have the same witness as you. But that shouldn't stop you from doing what you feel the Lord wants you to do. Because if you don't do it, then you're sinning. But there is such a thing as confirmation. And we have to remember that too. So all of this is not a balance of equal amount here and there, but to really be listening to the Lord, because it's very important for us that we have that giving heart, that we will expand and go beyond who we are as people. Yes?
Yes.
Because we have the Spirit of Christ in us. And I hope and pray here this morning that we're going to expand that whole that whole concept that God will just touch us like the string of an instrument today. That would just touch us in the core of our being and let us know that we're moving in the direction that we need to. And stop us where we need to be stopped.
Yes?
Yes.
Praise God.
Lord, we ask that very thing, and Lord, that you would be with each person here today. For those who couldn't make it, Lord, I pray that this word would be something that will bless them, that they will get it, and that they will understand it. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving among us and through us, that we are a special people to you, that you have given us mercy, that you've taken us out of darkness and put us into your marvelous light. Praise you, Lord, today. We praise you how you work all these things and how you do confirm your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.